CliffCentral.com.
Good afternoon on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. I see the weather's turning outside. I'm chilling with amazing entrepreneurs in studio. And I mean, we're talking about a particularly very interesting topic today. But I mean, you're chilling with your boy Bulelani Balabala. And I mean, hanging with Teboho Mafodi, who will be joining us a little bit later. And I mean, we are 360 Biz. Join us on Twitter, it's at cliffcentral.com. Join us on Facebook as well, cliffcentral.com. And I mean, let's get the conversation going and let's get the conversation started. But I mean, the interesting today, one of the most interesting things that we're discussing today is entrepreneurs, disabled entrepreneurs, because I mean, I've got a nice write-up and a nice read-away for you guys. Is it not strange that around 50% of all persons with disabilities who are working are self-employed, versus the less than 10% of non-disabled people with their own businesses? More of disabled people are starting to follow suit, starting up their own businesses. As the continent, government, and business community, we seek to affirm and give recognition to entrepreneurs particularly with disabilities, who have demonstrated excellence and innovation, as well as triumph over adversities in their business, enterprises. Joining you today, I'm chilling with amazing entrepreneurs. I'm sitting with the amazing gentleman, Mr. Linda Ganqumalo, who's a motivational speaker. Bernadette Rigney, we've shared quite a few words together. I'm excited to hear what this lady has in store for us. Who's a former government transformation officer, who's now a new, well-respected social entrepreneur. Money. And I'm also sitting with an amazing gentleman on my right, Velile. Sir, you need to help me with this. Maranisa. You see, I sabab. Hold on. Yes, sir.
It's Velile Maranisa, not Maranisa. Because of there are people that can pronounce
me. Come a bit closer to the mic.
Okay. It's very Mahanisi.
Mahanisi.
Yeah, Mahanisi. But most of the people, they call it Maranis, but it's Mahanisi.
Maranisa.
Yeah.
And I mean, I believe it says here that you're a center manager for... Oh Lord, I'm just a township boy. Okay. Some of these words that I hear, it's
Cheshire Home. It's LA to Cheshire Home in Davitoon.
I'm particularly interested in the name. You must tell me a little bit about this.
Okay, I'll give you the background of it.
Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. And I mean, to my far left, I'm chilling with an amazing young lady who's a speaker, who's an entrepreneur, who's an image consultant. Basically, this lady is everything all in one. She's a motivational speaker, corporate speaker. I'm kidding. But I mean, welcome, guys. Welcome. So I'll start with the gentleman on my far right. So just please introduce yourself, give us your name, tell us a little bit of what you do. We're going to get into detail in terms of what you do a little bit later.
Okay. Oh, my name is Verile Mahanisi from LA to Cheshire Home, east of Johannesburg. I'm the manager of that home with a person with disabilities. Can I give you a little bit of the background of Archie?
Yes, sir.
The LA to Cheshire Home for the person with disabilities. For instance, for those who are marginalized, who are taking care of them. This Electro Cheshire Home was started in 1991. Leonard Cheshire Home was one of the war veterans from England who managed to introduce this institution for the home for the person with disabilities, because he saw that the person with disabilities, most of them, they are not taking care of them from the various homes, because the person with disabilities need love and respect. But LA to Cheshire Home was also introduced in 1991 in east of Johannesburg. But there are a number of homes in around South Africa. One of them is in Harting in Randburg, and other one in Soweto. There are trains in Gauteng. We are having 19 residents and also 13 employees. We are having four caregivers who are taking care of them during the night and day, giving them medication. Also, the staff of them are also giving the, for instance, in terms of meal, breakfast, supper, and also the lunch.
Wow, quite interesting. And then I'm going to move over to you, Pralinda.
Sure. And my name is Linda Ngumalo. I'm a township boy. I'm from Tembisa.
Tembisa?
Yebo Baba.
Okay.
Yeah. I think life, it chose Uthi ngenzeni ngihambe nge wheelchair. I met my accident in 1995. I was shot by a stray bullet in Tembisa when I was a teen. So it's almost like 20 years since I've been in a wheelchair. I'm sort of like one of the veterans who've been disabled for a long time, you know. But inside me, when I met my accident, I had the passion of sort of like sharing my story, you know. You know what happened? When I got shot, I was not admitted back to my high school in Tembisa, you know. So by that, I was forced to move to a school for the disabled, you know. When I got there, I was sort of like this talking person who loves themselves, who didn't see disability as an obstacle and all of that, you know. So I started sharing my story, and I was discovered by someone, and I did a documentary. Then I started having that passion of sharing my story as a person who's disabled and as a young person again. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. You know, I'm looking forward to picking your brain a little bit more about that story, because I'm also from Tembisa.
Sure.
So it's very amazing. Yeah. Benedette?
I'm Benedette Rickney.
Okay, just hold on for me, Benedette, please.
I'm Benedette Rickney, the CEO of Fability, and we focus on fabulous lives of people with disabilities. So basically, I take someone and I skill them and upskill the person. And we focus on all sorts of career paths, the recruitment processes. I assist a lot of private sectors who are trying to reach their 2% target. And with employing disabled people, there's a lot of barriers and environmental issues that you need to take into consideration, such as public transport or the accessibility of a building. I focus on those type of little matters and assist the companies constructively.
Oh, wow. Interesting. And then the young, amazing lady who's doing phenomenal things. Just please tell us who you are and what you do.
My name is Phindile Makola. I do a lot of things, but I will start with my company. It's called Proper Pindles. The name came when I was in Naples, Florida. People couldn't really pronounce my name, Phindile, you know. In South Africa, they say Phindile. That side, they couldn't even pronounce my name. They started calling me Pindles. And I'm like, okay, Pindles. So everybody in the kitchen just called me Pindles. Then what came about was that whenever we would go out as young people, when we would dress nicely, we would just say, you look proper. So I'm like, why not combine the two words and, you know, create my own company, which is about image consulting. So what we do is we teach an individual how to dress for your body, for your lifestyle, and for your skin tone. So we combine all of that together. And I also am a co-founder of a youth movement called Bountiful Hands Movement. It's a non-profitable organization based in Mamelodi in Pretoria. So what we do, we empower the youth with knowledge. We want the youth to be better future leaders, and that's what we do.
Oh, beautiful. Debucho, how's it, brother? Debucho. Yeah, no, okay, we're going to try and get Debucho a little bit later on in the show. But I mean, one of the things that inspired us to actually do this particular show is the fact that when you look at business as a whole, and when you look at the limelight that's been put on different sort of entrepreneurs from the township, entrepreneurs that come from previously disadvantaged backgrounds, some that have created some of the most amazing products, and some that have done amazing things. But I mean, you know, we don't really shine a light on entrepreneurs that have done phenomenally amazing things that are disabled. And I mean, to a certain point, when you look at especially townships and some suburban areas, I mean, facilities that are to accommodate disabled people are very rare, and it's a little bit hard. So I mean, and here's one of the most proven things, especially when you look at the facts here. I mean, 15% of all disabled people tend to run their own businesses. And I'd like to think that it's because of the work environments that aren't there that you're actually forced to do your own, that people with abilities actually do nothing about them. And I mean, they just sit on the sidelines and watch you guys do amazing and phenomenal things. And I think just across the board, I mean, some of the guys that are doing amazing things, I mean, we've got Nisha here. who's doing amazing things, who's a campaigner for the underprivileged, who's raised a lot of money across the world. She's an international keynote speaker. She's born without arms. And I mean, these are some of the people that are doing phenomenal things across the globe. But I mean, apart from that, I mean, to be sitting in a studio with you guys that are doing phenomenal things is one of the most interesting things. So, I mean, I'd like to then start off with you, sir, from Tembisa.
Yeah.
I mean, just tell us a little bit about the incident. And I mean, you know, your entrepreneurial journey. Yeah, just share the story a little bit with us.
Yeah. As I've said before, that I made my accident like 20 years ago. And I started to have that passion, burning desire in me, the passion of writing a book, a passion of sort of like sharing my story, my obstacles, challenges that I come across and all of that, you know. Because in my point of view, when I was looking at the world is not educated about disabled people and the challenges maybe that we're being faced with, you know. So the challenges that we have are sort of like built around what the community of not understanding people with disabilities, you know. In my case, when I do my talks, I sort of make sure that I do sort of like an awareness, you know, share my stories so that people can understand that most of the challenges that we are faced with are sort of like mentally builded by our community and ourselves, you know, and creating barriers maybe for ourselves and other people again, you know. So inside of me, I had this burning passion of doing talks, and I want to write a book again so that I can do it and share my story more and sort of like educate people and all of that, you know. But another challenge that I'm coming across with, it's bookings.
Okay.
Yeah, it's rare for people to sort of like book a speaker who's disabled without sort of like someone, maybe you will sort of like tell someone like word of mouth and say, hey, there's a certain speaker, a great speaker, so and so, can you invite him and blah blah blah, you know. People sort of still have that stigma towards disability because they don't see what the real person that you are. They sort of like see the chair and the disability, the limitations that you've got, instead of recognizing what you are bringing maybe on the table. You understand? So most of my challenges, those are challenges that I come across, that, you know, bookings are sort of like rare. I need to market myself, like my sister who's sort of like doing like clothing and who can advise in all of this, so that I can be able to do it and market myself. If someone who's running a company and everything, when he looks at my profile and said, damn, we want to invite this speaker to come over and share his story, by looking at the profile of the person, do you understand?
Yes, sir. No, interesting, man. But I mean, just tell me something.
Yeah.
So when you brand yourself out there as a speaker, what do you tell people? Are you the disabled speaker or are you a speaker? Because I'd like to just understand that.
Dude, besides the chair, I'm still Ulinda Nxumalo. You understand? A chair is the form of mobility that I'm using to sort of like to get around, because, you know, I'm limited, I'm paralyzed. There's nothing that I can do beyond what walking and everything, you know. I just say I'm a speaker, Ulinda, but I make sure that in my profile I post what my pictures and everything, so that the person can sort of understand the person that are inviting. Not to, when I get here, then you don't understand how this guy, he didn't mention that he's on a chair, you know. We could have made some arrangements and everything, you know. So I make sure that I'm a disabled speaker. I like it or not, the word disability, it's part of me, you know. It's part of my journey, you know. And most of my stories, I share what my obstacles and my goals and my everything, you know. Sure.
Interesting. What inspired you, though? Where does this passion and resilience come to? Because, I mean, I've met quite a few people that were, you know, that were on the chair and were disabled.
Yeah.
And one of the things is that they don't have a zest for life that you have. I mean, the innate ability. You here today. I mean, we're sitting in studio because of this internal drive. Just quickly, what is this thing that is driving you?
You know, there was a time after my accident, after meeting my accident, I was just a dude in the township who'll stand in the corner with other guys who are selling cigarettes and everything, you know. But inside of me, I had that burning desire in me that, gosh, I want to be someone. I'm tired of sort of like sitting in a corner and not doing anything and sort of like, you know, watching people living their lives. I'm just as existing, not sort of like living my life, you know. So inside of me, I had this burning desire. I started to read books and inspire myself and everything. I don't know, maybe it's God, you know, who wow. sort of like inspires me to be the person that I am. And my family support, it's sort of like, you know, it to them, it doesn't matter if I'm working or I'm not able to work. I'm still what their son, you understand? And my mom, as a single parent who raised me, and sort of like the strength that she had and the challenges that we were faced with after my accident, you know, she's one person who sort of like inspires me to be the person that I am. But after all, I would say it's God, the universe, that sort of like, you know, says, we're giving you this gift and it's yours, and it will be up to you how you handle it. You know, it will be my choice that I will stand in a corner and beg, or I will choose to do what to be someone, you know.
Interesting. Now, Bernadette, off to you. You know, it's so amazing and it's so interesting that, I mean, you haven't been in the government for so long. You've seen loopholes you were mentioning to me in terms of the system, and then you've now come out. You're somewhat of a social entrepreneur. But I mean, when you look at the corporate environment and there's the business environment as a whole in South Africa, is it conducive? Has it been made conducive and user-friendly for people with disabilities?
Not at the moment, really. Yeah. There are some companies that are focusing on the person's disability, and then other companies that focus on the capability of the person. Yeah. And what I want to do is break away from the whole stigma. And if you still need training and sensitization programs to assist you and to learn how to cope with a person with a disability, then you're living in the 500s.
Yeah.
It's time now to focus on people's skills.
Yeah.
And the more skilled individuals you have in your company, the more you're contributing to society. And the less people who are on the social grants, you know, it's just better for government at the end of the day. We want to reach everybody's 2% targets and be equal contributing members of the business world and the corporate world.
Now tell me, I mean, when you go into different presentations, I can imagine across the board you're meeting with marketing directors, CEOs, CFOs and all this stuff. Do you find that the reception is much better? I mean, when they're listening to your pitch as opposed to someone else's, or do you still think that there's that stigma? Because what I'm trying to unearth here is it easy for you to walk in, I mean, and present as opposed to someone who is able-bodied like myself? Do you find the reception to still be good, especially for you?
I feel for me, I don't really relate to the disabled people's comments when they say that they feel excluded from society. When I walk into the room, you know, the CEO wants to come and see me, no matter who I'm meeting in this company. It's a stigma that needs to be broken, but it's the person, it's the individual themselves, the disabled person. You're going to make your life what you want. You know, what you dream is completely up to you, and only you can decide how far you're going to push society's limits into accepting you.
Wow, interesting. Yeah, Bravelile, off to you, sir. So, I mean, day-to-day runnings, managing this beautiful home that you're part of, I mean, how's that working out for you?
Well, that home, where some of substations is really stressing, because I'm dealing with 46 people per day.
Okay.
You need to come with a different concept each and every day, dealing with certain individuals, because the type of disabilities is not the same. Some of them are mental, some they need that caring from them, from my humanity, from my love. Because you are dealing with admin work, you are dealing with all the documents, you need to take care of them. If there are certain complaints, I need to address to them, because I'm one person. I don't have any PA or any assistance. But each and every day they run.
Wait, pause, sir.
Okay.
Are you doing this all by yourself?
Yeah, by myself. By myself.
But I mean, wait. I want to digress a little bit. We'll come back to that issue.
Okay.
I want to understand, what formal, did you get any formal training for what you're doing right now, or are you doing it purely out of passion and love?
Actually, I get this job last year in the 30th of November.
Yeah?
Yeah, for instance, because I was doing a business learnership, one of the service providers from Nomakwa. Now they took me to take care of them. But I said, man, it must be a contract for 3 months, because at this stage, I am not dealing with the finance, because my administration was not sufficient at that stage. But in the learning process, I'm trying my best to focus each and every individual what is happening in that home. Because in terms of filing, you need to be very focused on whatever you're doing. But and also the person with disability, you know, the person, there are different diversities. From some of them, they stay there for a long time. They don't have relatives. So you have to take them to various parks so that you can get, for instance, the person with disabilities, some of them are very sensitive. they need a love that they didn't receive from their home. So true, like my brother has said, Linda, you need to have love for the humanity. You need to be chosen for the particular job. Although I'm trying my best to do whatever I'm trying to be. One of the crucial elements is that their grant, which they are receiving from the government, I take, for instance, it's 1,006, which is their rental, and also they remain with the 350. For instance, that they cannot do without anything. But although the social development is also assisting them with the grant which they are receiving quarterly, it does not cater for their needs. So I'm trying to get some donors from various companies so that they can assist me, because some of their needs are not enough for them.
But I mean, what drives you each and every day to wake up in the morning and say that I'm over and above my disabilities, I'm going to assist other people? Because I think that, I mean, that's pretty phenomenal. Because I mean, I think that to a certain point, I would like to get myself out and do my own thing and inspire myself. But I mean, what inspires you each and every day to wake up and go out there and not help yourself to make hundreds of millions? But I mean, you've saw this desire to help other people do this for themselves.
You know what is happening in the human society? As a person, you need to empower some of the people so that they should be get the exposure from other people. You know, as a person with disabilities, we need to have that unification among ourselves in order the government should show us what is happening to our lives. You know, at some stage, if the person with disability does not help another person with disability, there's a huge problem on that note. So as a person with disability, we need to assemble our spectrums so that we help each other and love each other, so that the government should recognize that. I can give you a clue. Some of them was Mrs. Davitone from the person with disabilities, but a number of activities which are happening in another center. So one of them was get that man as Mrs. Davitone. So these kind of things for them is they get exposure from various companies, from various communities. So as person with disability, we need that thing so that we can love each other, to help each other, because there is no one who's going to love us except we love ourselves. You know, at some stage there are a number of policies which are happening in the government, but they are not implemented. They are just there in writing, but in order for us to do something, we need that thing to happen.
Wow. And I mean, okay, just let's, wow. I'm totally inspired, because I mean, here I am on this side always complaining about different things. And I mean, I think to a certain point you overlook the abilities that you have and always complain about frivolous things. And you have got these amazing entrepreneurs in the room that have got these things that are called disabilities. But I would like for today not call them disabilities, because they're abilities. Because think about it this way. You kind of took a bad, not kind of, you took a bad and you turned it into a good. Let's see if we can get Tebogo on the line to just comment on the beautiful show that we're having today. Tebogo, are you there? Nah, Cape Town has got him caught up. Let's leave him. Okay. So, I mean, my beautiful sister, Pindles. What do you prefer, Pindile or Pindles?
Pindles.
Have you conformed to the narrative of all these people that have been getting your name wrong, or?
I think for now, like when I introduce myself, I am Pindile, you know? I will say, hi, my name is Pindile. But, you know, you'll find me when I'm on stage, you know? I'm a keynote speaker, and, you know, I will say I am Pindile, but then call me Pindles, you know? That's my nickname, so to say, even though it's my other name, but it's my nickname. But, like, I'm sitting here and I'm listening to each and every one of you, and I'm inspired. More than anything, I am inspired. Here I am, you know, I've got an organization for the youth, you know. We're trying to, as everybody was saying, it's all about the mindset.
Yeah.
And it's about the love as well,
yes.
You know. Because I try to instill, like, knowledge, like, there's more to it. There's more to it, so... You know, let's open up their mindset, you know. Let's not see our life in this little box, but let's just broaden our horizon. And that's what inspired me to even start the organization called Bountiful Hands Movement.
And I mean, okay, just run us through, I mean, the organization Bountiful Hands. I mean, who do you guys focus on primarily? And I mean, do you have support from anyone, any sponsors, any donors? I mean, how is it for a young, black, amazing woman in this particular industry?
Well, when we started, it was just me and the co-founder. When we started in 2014, and it was just a small idea. We collected food and clothes, and we went to a primary school in Mamelodi, and we stood there, we spoke life into them, and that was when Bountiful Hands was born. And since then, we haven't even gotten a sponsor. We're running from our pockets, and at the rate we're moving, we won't be able to handle it at all, you know? So right now, I was telling my team, guys, we need sponsorship. We need sponsorship. Like, we really need it, because these girls, you know, we have the equipment to get the speakers, you know, to get them the knowledge they need, but where is the funding, you know, to keep us alive, to keep us going? Because there's a lot of things we're doing, and it's focused on the youth, because I believe if I had a mentor at a very young age, I would have gone far, you know. It's unfortunate that I got a mentor at a very, like, old age. Not that I'm old, but, you know, I got it. So I'm thinking, what will happen to that young girl or that young boy who gets a mentor, who gets all this knowledge from, you know, high school? They're going to be better leaders, and that's what we're aiming at, actually. So that's what we're doing at Bountiful Hands Movement.
Oh, interesting, hey? And I mean, you know, it's so amazing, actually, just listening to you guys talking about all these different things. But I mean, what are some of the challenges that you guys experience? I'd really love to. Yes, sir?
Yeah. Before, you know, like, in my case, I've learned that somehow disability, it's a mental thing, you know. I had, after my accident, I had to deal with my mental state a lot before anything else, you know, because my mind, you know, a mind is a powerful tool that, you know, more than anything that you can sort of like have and use, you know. I dealt with my mind a lot, and I'm not afraid of my limitations. I know my limitations, and I know that, okay, this is just a boundary, that something that is trying to sort of like stopping me not to sort of like overcome what the disability issues and everything, you know. Like in my case, challenges of finances and everything that you want to do, you know, I want to inspire, I want to go to school to speak about disability and do road shows and everything, and educate young kids from young age so that they can sort of like understand a friend who's disabled, you know. Roundly in Tembisa, where I'm from, where there was a kid who was sort of like locked inside the family house for years. They knew at certain source house there's a child who's disabled there. And those kids, we grew up knowing that there was someone there, but we've never seen the person coming out and mixing up with other kids or playing with other kids, you know. If you look at our society, maybe the parents were right, we're protecting the child, and on the other hand, the society not knowing what's happening with that kid, you know. So if the young kids from at the young age at the school, at crashes, they sort of like understand disability, the challenges that we're facing with and everything, I think we'll be living in a better world, you know. So I'm one of the people who are sort of like, I'm here to make my mark, and I'm taking my gift of pain, my disability, to use and educate and inform other people so that we can sort of like have a better life, or the next generation of people with disabilities who will come and sort of like be more sort of like educated and knowing good, you know. Disability is just a state of mind, but it depends on you how you handle it, you know.
Listeners out there, stay tuned. Don't move. We're going to play a beautiful song, Zahara Imali. But I mean, back after the song, we're talking about this beautiful conversation, entrepreneurs, social entrepreneurs. We're talking about leaders out there in the community with disabilities and inspiring people out there.
360 Biz on cliffcentral.com.
We're back on the radio. We're talking to these amazing entrepreneurs. I've got Tebogo on the line. Tebogo, how's it, man?
Yeah, I'm good, and you, my brother?
I'm good, brother. It's good to finally have you on, yeah?
Hey, this phone is jealous, man. I can hear you guys are having fun, and it doesn't want me to join in. You know, this network.
Nah, man, the studio's on fire today. I mean, just the studio's amazing with these amazing, bubbling entrepreneurs that have got a zest for life. It's crazy, eh? Yeah, how's Cape Town?
No. Okay, Cape Town is very hot. It's just the weather is behaving after the bad storms that were here last week.
Yeah.
So, but at least it's behaving. Let's hope it will remain like this for some time to come. Yeah, but I'm quite inspired by the guests in studio. You know, it's actually priceless to hear some of the stories that you hear on Info Unedit, to Putlinda, you know, Putvelile, and more than anything, you know, you guys are quite inspirational. I think one must congratulate you on the
Tebogo. Nah, Teboho's gone. So, I mean, we're just going to keep the conversation going. So before Teboho came on board, we were talking about some of the challenges. So, I mean, Bernadette, what are some of the challenges that you are facing, or rather, what are some of the things that you see as challenges?
Oh, well, Fairability is a year old, and in the beginning, I also struggled with what type of marketing strategies should I use. And I was very reluctant to get sponsors and investors on board because it would take away from the Fairability name. So I went through every mistake that a person could find. And sometimes I feel that you need to go through those mistakes and build yourself up, because now you can provide the information to people. So some of the challenges is in the beginning, the financial part, but don't worry. It's just a little milestone. You can say no to a million. You're going to make 10 million tomorrow.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, you just need to find your niche. You need to see who's out there. What are your competitors doing? There's so many people doing exactly the same type of work, but where do you come in? What makes you different? Yeah, yeah. And that's what the companies are going to pay for. That's what you're going to stand out in. If you focus on your individuality, I mean, if you look at all the multimillionaires, everybody's different. You have your Richard Bransons, yeah, and there's nobody that's copying each other. And when you do start copying and trying to do something because someone else is successful, that's where that's your downfall. So you need to be so unique and use that. And I mean, Pendy's amazing project, I'm already seeing, hey, Fairability is going to definitely use your services. Just your niche.
Rukman Velile, what are some of the challenges, I mean, that you encounter on a day-to-day basis, or, I mean, in the growth of what you're trying to build up now with the home?
Well, there are a number of challenges as I'm that center of that person with disability in Ekurhuleni in Daveyton. For instance, those guys which we need to give them a medication on a daily basis. Some of them have been taken to the hospital. Some of them, you know, for instance, we having a social worker. We need to counsel them. For instance, in terms of their relatives who are not coming, because they normally cry to me because I'm not a social worker. But at some stage, I need to come up with a mechanism that will make that person happy. For instance, to take him to a certain park, as I already mentioned previously. So there are huge challenges for the person with disability. At some stage, as a person with disability, you know what is going to happen in the human society. You need to build that stigma for all kinds of disabilities. When you look to a person, you look at him, that particular person, as a human being that is created by God. There's no person who is not created by God by mistake. Look at the person as a human nature, for instance, which is an object from God. You know, at some stage, some of the people, when they look at the person with disability, they look in as an object which does not exist. Look at the person as a humanity and love that particular person.
We've got a caller on the line. We've got a caller on the line. Pumla, what's your comment?
Hi, it's Pamela here.
How's it, Pamela?
Good, thank you. I'd like to say that this is a very great and informative show that you guys have there today.
Thank you.
Yes, because I have a four-year-old daughter, and she also lives with a disability. And I can comment on what Bernadette just also mentioned there, that it's not really easy, you know, saying that you're living with a disability and, you know, getting to live in society in this day and age and getting to be accepted in certain places and so forth. But I'd like to say what you all guys are doing there is quite great. Honestly speaking, you guys are brave. You guys, I say, keep it up. And I hope God will really give you the strength and have the confidence to go on.
Wow.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pamela. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay,
bye.
So, I mean, guys, when you hear beautiful things like that, you guys are heroes. I mean, what ran through your mind?
Hashtag inspired.
I am inspired too. Yeah. And, it's so sometimes amazing and pitiful, because, you know, in our community, people, if you've got a disabled child and everything, there are few people who will raise their child like a normal child. Mostly they will throw people at Chechaya homes because there's nowhere else where other people can sort of like stay, you know.
So that is why I'm saying sometimes it's a mind. You need to, people need to sort of like learn, and we need to sort of like inspire and empower people with disabilities. You know, my brother would love to visit Ichechaya home and sit down with your guys. If they would see someone who's in the same situation like they are, you understand that life has no limits, but it's only you who sort of like limit yourself. You know, I mean, I don't see my chair as a limitation, you know, and I don't see it as an obstacle for me, but I use it as what, as an opportunity for me, you know, and no one else will sort of like tell me that, but I chose to do what, that I'm gonna go to Cliff Central and knock at their doors and say, I'm marketing myself. I'm a speaker. I want to do this and that and that, you know. That's definitely.
That's true. Beautiful. I mean, Pindile, you're an image consultant.
Yes.
I mean, one of the things that, Bralinda was talking about is the fact that maybe it's the way that people take him. Maybe it's the way that he brands himself or puts himself across, that some of the people are not able to receive him well, and an issue with the bookings. I mean, how would you advise them, or advise any of the guests in studio to position themselves better?
I think, like, what we do as image consultant, well, what I do in particular, I look at Ubabulinda here, and I'm drawing from what kind of person he is, you know? And what I would do, I would take that and interpret that into clothing. Because oftentimes all social media has, you know, people taking selfies. We're seeing all these Photoshop pictures, but we don't know the behind the scenes, you know. So what I deal with is I look at, you know, Benedict as a person, as the human being. And, you know, I see your potential. I see your qualities. And I'm like, but how can I use that or take that and mesh that with clothing, you know, because I believe we all have different styles, we all have, you know, different personalities, and we all like different things, you know. So me as an image consultant, I will sit down with you and, you know, let's talk, you know, let's remove the makeup, let's remove the heels, let's find out who you are, and let me help you brand yourself. So that's what it's about, basically. So the advice I would give Ubabulinda is that I was looking at your Facebook page, you know, just now, and I'm looking at it, like, the first thing I need to be seeing is he's a speaker, you know. I see your cover page is, it was, you were on Studio, actually, so I get to sense that, oh, okay, I can book him, you know. And having spoken to you now, you know, I get that this guy is a good speaker, you know, because I'm with the Leadership 2020, and they teach us how to speak. You know, they're having an event on Saturday, I Was Born to Speak. And we get to learn, you know, what a speaker is. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, he is it, basically, you know. Like, I'm wondering, why aren't people booking him, you know? Like, you're making me want to book you for, you know, the next Bountiful Hands event, you know, because I'm that inspired.
Beautiful, sir. I mean, there you go. You've got someone to book you. But I mean, Benedict, just tell me, who are some of the people supporting you?
I've got huge support, not financially. I do my own finance and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But I've got the amount of people that have stood by me since the decision I made that I'm going to leave government, everybody wasn't too pleased with that. You just need to make sure that you are around people who are like-minded, running businesses. I've got this quote that don't accept advice from somebody that you wouldn't trade places with. So the people that are constantly giving advice, if they're not driving a Bentley, rather just ignore them. But even with celebrities, the events that we host, we have amazing people that come out and just show support, which also puts a lot of emphasis on the disability sector. And, you know, at the end of the day, we end up working together, and it's not, oh, the disabled person and the able body. It's actually quite a fun, massive get together.
And then, I mean, the environment as well, it's quite supportive.
Yes, yeah.
That's beautiful. Bravelile. Sure. What, I mean, who's supporting you? I mean, do you have any support from home, community, friends?
Yes, we do have support from some of the communities who are also the entrepreneurs who are not support, but their support is not that legitimate at some stage.
Yeah,
we need more donors to come on board to help the person with disability. As I'm saying that their grant is also giving them the rental for the entire month, so they don't have some of the to buy the toiletries and also some clothing for themselves. So we need some donors to come on board so that they can support the person with disability from a letter to table.
Oh, beautiful. Pralinda, support?
Yeah, it's my brother. I mean, support, as I've said, that I've even quitted my job this year, like wanting to do this as a professional, you know. Currently, it's only my mom and my grandmother, Pindile, was sort of like...
You know, I think one of the most... Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
One of the most inspiring things that this gentleman was telling me during the break is that he believed in this dream of being a speaker and publishing his two books so bad that he even sold his cars, left his job.
Mm.
Wow.
Hey, but it's difficult, bro. It's not a simple thing, you know. It's not a simple thing, you know. But I chose to do what... Bro, you know, I used to sit down and look at people living their lives and I'm just existing, you know. And I started to sort of do what... God, but exactly what is it that you want me to do with my life, you know? I'm so passionate about helping people with disabilities share my story, share other people's story. If I get an opportunity on sort of like in broadcasting and everything, share my story, share other people's story. There are other people who are disabled. When I look at them, I would say, gosh, you know, I thought I was the one. But, you know, there are people who are sort of like who are better, you know, like, but there's no one who knows about them because we don't have any public a platform whereby people can sort of like showcase their cases and stories, you know, and share those stories with everyone. So today I'm open to anyone who would sort of like come and assist if I'm doing my speaking and everything and all of that, you know.
I mean, we've got an interesting and amazing lady, I mean, on the line all the way from George joining us on Skype. Jackie, how are you?
Here again and be able to contribute to a really interesting and meaningful discussion.
Yes, Jackie. I mean, you've been listening to the beautiful and amazing topic that we've been running in studio. I mean, what do you think of these amazing entrepreneurs?
You know, entrepreneurs are a special breed of people. It takes a lot of grit and a lot of guts to take that leap of faith into the business world and make things happen. But even more so, if you have any kind of physical disability or impairment, it just gives you an extra challenge. So for the men and women who are in that situation and who are going for it regardless, I have the utmost respect and the utmost it fills me with so much pride on their behalf because I'm an able-bodied person, and I know how tough it can be at times. So to put that aside and to still say, I'm going for it, and to make a success of your undertakings, that is really a phenomenal accomplishment.
Yes, Jackie, that's beautiful. I mean, I think earlier on, I mean, when we were engaging, I mean, you shared some interesting and beautiful facts on social media and disability. I mean, what are some of those facts?
Well, from a social media point of view, we have to remember that people with any kind of a hearing or sight or mobility impairment, for them, using social media and websites and applications is not always easy. But the fact that the tools are at our fingertips and that anyone with an internet connection can now connect with other people and participate online, this actually opens up a whole new world, not just for able-bodied people, but for people with disabilities and those that have taken that and said, well, this is an amazing tool, I'm going to run with it irrespective of my challenges, some of them are doing really, really well. And I actually am friends with three ladies that I'd like to mention today in particular because they are just phenomenal women who are also entrepreneurs in their own right. And one of these ladies is cerebral palsy. She's 25 years old. She's in a wheelchair. But she functions as a social entrepreneur, and she's dedicated her efforts online to campaigning for underprivileged children. And she's currently raising money for Smile Train, which provides surgeries for children with cleft palates. Her name is Nisha Vargese, and she is a blogger. And she can be reached at Nisha360 on Twitter. But the amazing thing is that Nisha has actually raised over $10,000 so far in her campaign, which I think is just, it's phenomenal. And then there are another pair of ladies who blow my mind. One of them is a woman by the name of Nikki Abdenor, and she's quite well known. She was born without arms, and she's based in Cape Town, and she is a well-known international inspirational keynote speaker and a trained clinical psychologist. And I first met Nikki on Twitter a couple of years ago. So even though she doesn't have arms, she has not let that hold her back or stop her, not in any capacity at all, whether in business, whether in her career, whether on social media. She is utilizing every opportunity that she has available. And so that's just another one for me that I just go, wow, you know, if she can do it, you and I, who have two arms, two legs, two hands, we really have no excuse. Another lady who's actually in my hometown of George, she recently won a Naledi Award. Her name is Gaynor Young. She's also a blogger, and she is a very beautiful actress who suffered a tragic fall from the stage at the State Theatre. And this left her with a number of injuries, but it also damaged her hearing and her sight. And after her tragic accident, Gaynor became a blogger, and her award was for, it was a Lesedi for the spirit of courage, because despite everything that actually should have completely wrecked her life, she's stood up, she's made a go of blogging, and she's even returned to the State Theatre recently where the accident happened and really faced a lot of her demons. But she's making a difference in the world and reaching a lot of people through online networking. So it just shows you what can be done with the tools that are at hand. And for people with disabilities, there are ways and means to get around them. I mean, there was a study done by Dr. Scott Hollier. He's one of Australia's leading internet access experts, and he himself is blind. And he consulted with some other users with disabilities about their experiences using social media. And Dr. Hollier has now produced a social media guide with a series of tips of useful information on how people with disabilities can access various platforms. And I'm actually going to tweet a link to this report so that if there's anybody who would like to download the report and read it, it basically takes you step by step through what you need to do to set up your social network profiles. But more than that, it gives a lot of tips on the accessibility issues that people with disabilities have faced. So entrepreneurs who are facing, for instance, vision or sight impairments, it's recommended that they rather use the Facebook mobile site, which is m.facebook.com, just for the mobile site, because even although it has more basic profile editing and it's a bit limited in its functionality, it's a lot easier for people with vision impairment to see. Then I won't go through all of the tips. It's a lengthy report, but I'll give you just a few quickly. If you're going to be using Facebook and you would like to use the voice over screen reader on iPhone. So, for example, if you can't see and you want that screen reader application to read you the information on screen, it's recommended that you download the Facely HD app, because this app, it is a paid app, but this works best with the voiceover screen reader. And so that's a R59.99 app on the App Store that could make it a lot easier for anybody who has vision impairment to use Facebook. Then other tips for Twitter. There's a site called easychirp.com, and you can go to easychirp.com, and this is also a site for people with impairment who just makes it a lot easier for them to tweet. And then, of course, on Skype is quite forward-thinking. They have, under their tools list on Skype, if you go to the pull-down menu for tools and you click on accessibility, you can switch to screen reader mode, and screen reader mode will then also read the information on your Skype screen to you. So for people who are blind or vision impaired, that's a really big win.
And I mean,
YouTube.
So I mean,
I think Jackie just try to tweet the information, then we'll retweet on our side.
I'm definitely going to do that. YouTube has a function for people who are obviously sight impaired, but they still want to know what is being shown on the video.
I think we lost Jackie there, but I mean, just to continue with the show, I mean, we're going to be closing it up. We're shutting it down. Sir, 10 seconds inspiration.
For what is to be in Cliff Central, it was a gratitude for me to be here. For instance, what was in, to come and present with what is happening to LA to Church High Home, to find out what is happening to the person with disabilities who are marginalized, so that I would love for the donors or sponsors to come on board to assist them with some of the things which are they're not capable to purchase them.
Thank you
a lot.
Sir?
Yeah, in my case, I would say, let's shine on the ability, not the disability, you know. I'm open for bookings. Anyone who wants to get hold of me, Ulinda Kanxumalo in Facebook, Ulinda Kanxumalo on Twitter again. Yeah, and thank you for the opportunity. Thanks,
sir. Sure. Benedict?
Well, I would just say that people need to believe in themselves, focus on what you're really good at, and visit Fability, fability.co.za.
Yeah.
And thank you.
Thank you. Pindles?
I'll say... It has been like a great opportunity. Follow me on Instagram, proper_pindles. On Facebook, Pindile, Bountiful Pindles, and Bountiful Hands Movement.
Yeah, mine is just go out there and make sure that you get things done. Guys, thank you for joining us. You've been amazing, very inspirational. Guys, join us next week, Tuesday, from 3 to 4 on 360 Biz with Bulelani and Teboho Mafodi.
Cliff Central. The revolution. I've got something important to tell you. CliffCentral.com.